This episode of the Hard Drive DL is brought to you by our friends at Napa Auto Parts. Conquer the job with Napa know-how.
You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.
What's up, rock and roll fans? Welcome to Hard Drive DL, the Hard Drive Radio podcast. My name is Paulie Walnuts, and I'm so happy you've decided to join us this week as we take you once again behind the scenes at Rockfest in Cadott, Wisconsin. First off, Lou Brutus got to sit down with one of my favorite bands, Avatar, and he has a great discussion with Johannes, who is a really cool, really sharp dude, and nothing in person like he is on stage. They're like diametric opposites. The persona of Johannes, you know, in Avatar is, you know, the front man. He's this clown makeup psychopath looking guy, and he's really loud and crazy and insane. And then when you get to sit down and talk with him, he's actually like this really quiet, reserved, you know, very thoughtful kind of guy. It's so bizarre just seeing him, but he's a great performer and he's a real smart dude, and I love the songs that he writes. So I hope you enjoy this interview.
Hey, it's Lou Brutus this week speaking to you from Rockfest, Wisconsin 2017. Johannes Ekerstrom from Avatar is my guest. It's nice to see you again.
It's good to see you, man, every time.
Congratulations are in order, I believe, because this is the first time we've sat down face-to-face since you won the Metal Hammer Award for Breakthrough Artist. Tell me about the news. Tell me about breaking the news to your family and friends and the celebration thereafter.
Well, the thing is that I was so sure that I didn't care about awards. And I think, I honestly guess I would have been more excited when I was 20 years old. Obviously, that kind of, getting that kind of, what's called, recognition would mean more. And I felt like, hey, I'm above this. But then also realized during that day that I'm preparing a speech in my head. So obviously, I cared more than I thought I would. No, and it was nice, and I like the fact that it was like one of those people's choice things that was voted on by fans, and so it really shows that we have great supporters, that we have a great audience. So I'm very grateful for that, and then of course it was cool that with the other bands that were there, you know, Devin Townsend was there, Gojira was there, or Chris Jericho was there, Tone Iommi, like we were in a very nice company, and it was a cool little hangout for us because, you know, we're still fans. And I actually said on stage that I don't think we before had the opportunity to play in a venue with so many people I'd given my allowance to us growing up, you know. So that was special. That made a whole celebration of it special as well, of course.
Why do you suppose the fan reaction to you guys is so strong? Certainly part of it, I believe, is, you know, there's a great theatrical aspect to what you do. But, you know, anybody can put something on unless there's a message at the heart of it. I don't think you'll ever get any true reaction from people's hearts to you. What do you think the response is due to?
I believe it's the fact that we're very, very sincere in what we do. Because, you know, we start, I'm sure I told you and everyone else this a million times, the part that we grew up learning how to play our instruments together, basically, because we were 14, 15, 16 years old when Avatar started. And due to that, you know, we've gone through so many phases and learning this and growing as people and therefore also as artists. And one of these key things that we have learned is that you can't fake this. At least we can't fake this, you know, because at some point you start to learn about songwriting from a more handcrafty kind of perspective. And for a while there we were thinking, okay, so this, I guess, is how you write a popular song. So I guess we try this now. And it just didn't work. We weren't, you know, you every time an artist try, at least for us, I believe this is true for many, many others. Every time you as an artist try to figure out what is expected of you, you shoot yourself in the foot if you try to live up to that. You have to follow your own muse. That's how we treat it. And with every release, with everything we do when it comes out, there's always this feeling of, you know, it's always a sense of make it or break it. like, okay, they didn't get a Let It, you know, we did Let It Burn, so now we do Let It Schmurn, you know, and it smells like a freak show, therefore now it smells like a freak bow. And it was like, you just, you know, go through the loops of repeating yourself. And since we don't do that, and if people really, really like us because one of those songs specifically want more of that, it's very unlikely that you get that from us because we have to move on. We have that song. We keep playing it live. We still love the song, but that's a song we already did. So we move on to the next thing and the next thing, and we want to stay excited, for our metal. And I think that's sincere love for metal music and to create something. And I think that is what right now is helping us a lot, and one day might be the death of the band once people think we go too far. But that's fine, because every time there's that feeling of, okay, I liked this one, I'm gonna listen to it, you know. So, and we said that after each album, and the band has been growing after each album, you know. So it seems to be working, but I'm just, I don't know, I'm too old for this. I'm okay. I'm okay if it stops working as well, you know, as long as I feel like I did something, you know, sincere. That's the word.
And certainly I would think another aspect that people love the band for, myself included, it's one of the things that really interests me about the band, is that it is not just about the message coming across in the music. It's that the message is also put across on multiple levels in multiple ways. Like with the, you know, you released the audiobook in Europe of Feathers and Flesh. So there's things to read, there's things to look at, there's things to listen to. That's just got to keep you guys on your toes all the time.
Yeah, no, but again, that is also connected to, we are able to do these things. Again, it falls back to the word sincerity. I think that's been going through my mind a lot lately, so that's why I'm becoming a bit repetitious here in our conversation. But again, it all comes from that place where we are excited about stuff like that. And that is what makes it work. I don't think you don't have to do things like this as a band, and you probably shouldn't if you don't feel what we feel while doing it. You know, you don't have to paint your face. You don't have to wear very, very high red socks on stage. You know, like, there you can do the jeans and t-shirts thing if you feel like that is what your music looks like. And that can be equally amazing, you know. That's, I guess, is Foo Fighters. I feel like that is more button-down shirts, jeans kind of music, mm-hmm. and they look just right for their job. They communicate whatever their music is. So there are multiple ways of doing it. It's just about being true to oneself.
Are there any examples you can give me of the types of things that you would like to do that you have not done yet? And it can be anything. It can be, do you want to make a film? Do you have a more elaborate stage show? Or there are different kinds of things you'd like to do on stage that maybe nobody has done before, that nobody has tried. I mean, what sort of things you got up in the top of your head right now?
Well, I guess all of the above. Honestly, like, of course, we want to expand on our show, on our performance in any way we can that makes sense. And, like, the sky and our wallet is the limit for what we are willing to do. But we have, and like, there are already some things I got to do on a few selected occasions when the timing was right, you know, to be on a bed on nails and get a cinder block crushed against my stomach and all that. Like, I'm willing to take things pretty far, like, as long as it makes sense with what we're doing. And a film, absolutely. I feel like, in a way, just in pure, if you just think in what mediums we've been doing things now, like doing something longer, like a short film or even a feature film connected to our music, that is, I think we will reach that. At some point, we're going to do something like that. Right now, I see the challenge there is, of course, like, number one, to really have it make sense 100% with the music, and have always the music, like, the music has to come first and last. Then it's all these other things can happen in the middle of the whole process. But it has to start and end with music. We're a band. And to create a movie that feels like that, and maybe doesn't necessarily, like, I don't know, I don't feel like doing a Michael Jackson Moonwalker I'm a big Michael Jackson fan, but it's more like, I don't know, when a movie version of The Wall. And I guess that's kind of hard. You have to be pretty gifted and work a long time to do something like that. But so yeah, like it's bound to happen one day, one shape or another. But it is a huge challenge. And I think especially with our type of music and things, if we were like this dark ambient group, it's just easier. Then again, like that's our whole thing. Like when you say what we want to do in the future, it's always like, oh, those things that seem hard. Because again, that was Feathers and Flesh more than anything. Was like, do you know how to do a concept album? No. Do you? No. Okay, cool. Perfect. That's a perfect starting point for us. Like, because now we knew how to do Hail the Apocalypse. We knew how to do Black Walls. We knew those things. We know how to bang our heads really fast together on stage. So we're going to keep doing all that, you know, but what don't we know today that we want to know tomorrow? And that is the journey we're on.
You guys have announced a fall tour, and it's another one of these lineups that I think is perfect for you guys. Of Mice and Men is on it, and In This Moment is also part of the mix. And that is one of those groups that is currently out there that I think they're certainly doing their own thing, but they are kindred artistic spirits, I think, of Avatar in a good way. And I think it makes for just a wonderful mix. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like In This Moment are one of the bands that it feels like what they're doing, that they're thinking conceptually. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a huge difference when we talk about, again, yeah, paint your face and change your costume between songs. Many are doing that, but we always think the difference between a gimmick and an image and then a concept. You know, and many bands get stuck on just, okay, we can do this thing because that seems cool, and then that's a gimmick. And it doesn't really carry any weight or any meaning. And,
or longevity.
Yeah, exactly. Or longevity, exactly. And then the next step would be, like, if you think image. So how you present the product. And I think that's one step above. There's still a plan there, but it just goes skin deep. And then I think the most successful examples, or at least among stuff that I'm personally into, my impression is that those are the artists that think conceptually, whether they use those terms or words or not. But what it just is, when it comes so purely from your personality and not from expectations, and you build something around that, then you get that kick-ass image and your fun gimmicks, but you cannot start with thinking gimmicks. And I feel like In This Moment is one of those bands that it's pretty clear when you've been around them for a while that they're thinking conceptually. And that, I believe, is what makes it work. And we toured with them this spring as well. So it's now the second leg of that tour, basically, where we get to head out west a little bit more and hit Canada. And like, it's going to be cool. And I feel like their audiences have been resonating really well with us. So it's clearly a good mix, and we had fun, and it was a nice crew and everything. Yeah, we just got along really well. They are gentlemen and gentlewomen.
You and I had briefly touched on this before, but you did a circus performance where you were on a bed of nails and had a cinder block broken on your stomach. And I thought, that's different. Tell me about the circumstances and how you had to sort of prepare or train, or, you know, how does one do these things?
Well, if you train beforehand, you'll find out that it hurts, and that will give you doubts. What actually happened is, like, this is the Helsa Poppin guys and girls that we worked with for the Black Walls music video way, way, way back when, where so many important things started for us. And it must have been last year that we finished off a U.S. tour on a festival in Texas, and they were also there. And we were hanging out. We were flying out of that town, whichever it was. I don't remember now. So we hung out on the festival, and one of their guys, Shorty, came over to say hi and hang out and buy our bus. And we were sitting there all night, basically. And he's like, by the way, we should go and say hello to the others, to Bryce and everyone else. Yeah, so we went over there, and they were just packing up their tent, their stuff. And and I just asked, can I try that thing with a bed of nails? because we also did that in back way back when in the music video. So I tried that in this little private setting, just for the hell of it. And then the stars aligned once again in Atlanta this spring, and they had a show in the same building as we did with in this moment. And so they joined us on stage for Smells Like a Freak show. Actually, this is the second time they do this. So we have been running into each other a bunch of times and have been doing this thing where they just join us on stage. Whoever's on tour with Hell's a Puppin at that time comes up and freaks our audience off. And I get to find out what it's like to have people looking, not looking at you on stage. It's pretty awesome. So we did that there. And that evening, to kind of return the favor and, you know, for the hell of it, I went down to their show in the venue they were in and did it, yeah, as a part of their show. And then we figured, okay, now I have done this in front, next natural step is to do the whole thing but on our show. So we had them be a part of our final concert. It was in Houston. And in the middle of the show, they got, it was kind of this intermission thing where they went on stage and did some of their crazy stuff. And then they joined us for Smells Like a Freak show again. Lots of fire, lots of scaring people and all the things they do so well. And then we ended the whole show with just me on that bed on nails. And then on top of me, another bed on nails. Then one of them on top of that. And then this wooden board on top of that. And then Shorty was jumping around there. And Shorty has no legs, so that he's not that heavy. But then he comes, jumps down, and Bryce jumps up on that, and yeah, it hurts, but like we've been friends now for half a decade suddenly, isn't that crazy? And we, you know, every time we get the chance to do something together, we take that chance. I feel like it's great. It's probably good cross promotion and all that, but more than anything, I just enjoy it, and they seem to enjoy it too. And we always now looking at always how do we do this, you know, more consistently over a full tour.
The world is filled with interesting, if somewhat strange, people, is it not?
Yeah, but isn't it crazy how you get used to it? Yeah. Like, I feel coming home and being among, you know, friends from home or family and. Yeah, that's actually something I've been saying on a day job I had, just explaining to people. Like, I feel like whatever you do in life, like good or bad or super exciting or very mundane, it becomes normal. And, I mean, what we're doing is still lots of fun for us, and we really enjoy it. And, you know, but it's just that it gets kind of normal. And you know, every time there are those festivals, there was one in France now, for instance, Hellfest, where it's hard to count that high from stage, but we figure there were probably 50,000-60,000 people looking, we think. And even if it's just 40, then boo-hoo, that was pretty cool. That's pretty cool as well. But it's just, while you're up there, it's still like you're focused on what you're focused on, also if there's 10 people out there. And you have that kind of, I guess, mental anchor that prevents you, at least that's true for me at least, that prevents me from going insane when I start, like, you don't really relate to all these people are looking at us, like, yeah. I guess it's a very scary way of viewing that, but in our case, again, it has become normal. And yeah, and bed on nails becomes normal, and the insanity of being on the road becomes normal, but still way more fun than anything else I try to do to make a living.
Well, I'm glad that you have chosen this path as your way to go through life. And it's always good to talk to you. Johannes from Avatar, always a pleasure, sir.
Always a pleasure.
More episodes of Hard Drive DL at harddriveradio.com. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app and keep listening.
Rockfest 2017, I'm Lou Brutus. Always a great pleasure, a great part of my day and a great part of my job to talk to Brent Smith from Shinedown. Brent, you look great. How you feeling?
I'm good, man. We were just talking a little bit backstage about being on the road and keeping the diet consistent. So thanks for telling me I look great. I'm a little over the LBs that I would naturally want to be right now, but we've been going back and forth between. It's the first time we've decided to tour and also make a record at the same time. So, you know, being out here, it's great to be back out on the road, though, even for this month of July. But I'm doing great, man. Thanks for asking. You look awesome, by the way.
Thank you very much. I'm 8 pounds over where I'm supposed to be, and those deli platters backstage and the desserts look really good, so it's hard. But let's talk about the new music that you mentioned, because this is a lot closer, I think, to coming out than a lot of people realized even just a couple of days ago. Walk me through what you've gotten so far.
So basically what's going on right now is we started in January. When we were doing the tour last year in November and December with Five Finger Death Punch, Eric was going in every show day with his Pro Tools rig, and he was just putting compositions together. No melody, no vocal, just he was doing 3-minute and 20-second compositions. And he just did it because he wanted to kind of get a jump start on things, but he also wanted to do it so he didn't go nuts on the road with, like, spare time. And inside of that, when we got to 2017, I didn't want to hear any of that when we were on the road on tour. But when we got to this year, I said, play me everything that you got right around the middle of January. So there was about 22 compositions. So we started to kind of handpick a couple of things and dive into the writing process. But where we are now, fast forward, I've spent a lot of time with him in Charleston pretty much the whole beginning of this first year. We're at 17 songs written, and actually a lot of the production is done on them. And inside of that, we're getting ready to, we're probably, in my opinion, about halfway done as far as with the writing. We're not all the way there with the production just yet. But that's a lot of what the next month is for. In August, we're going to be in Los Angeles working pretty diligently with the second half of the record, which is turning out to be possibly, because we're not 100% there yet either, but it looks like it's going to be Shinedown's first concept record. That's a very deep rabbit hole, especially from a lyrical side of things, but it's something that I've never really thought about in the past. And the reason that this kind of happened was that I started to look at those first 17, and lo and behold, a thread had kind of hit me between all of them. And then characters actually started to appear in my psyche and starting to look a lot deeper into what this album was going to be. And it's really on a lot of levels. It's not just about one particular song or one particular story. A whole world was kind of developing in my head. So it's really, really exciting, actually.
Actually, I think that's a first for you. I know you and I had spoken before where you had maybe started to go down that path a little bit, and then the rest of it just didn't come together, so, you know, you didn't really pursue it. What do you think it was this time that awakened this part of your consciousness?
I got to be honest with you, Threat to Survival. The reason I say that is because that was one of the most difficult records for me to make, personally. There was a lot going on in my life at that time. If I had not had Eric and Barry and Zach, I don't even know if the record would have gotten finished. By working with so many different people, those songs are very serious. And there's a lot of deep, deep, I guess the best way I could say it was, I know I've said it before from other records that it's very autobiographical, but Threat was at that time in my life, that 2-3 years of my life there, putting that together and finishing up touring and then getting into that record. It was just like, that record was fight or flight. It was like, I've got to get this done somehow. And I'm proud of it, but I would never want to revisit that again. And I think a lot of it for me was with this new material, I came into the material with a very fresh perspective, not only from touring Threat, because we have been able to do so much from a touring side with this record internationally here in America, like especially internationally, like all over the globe. So I had this very laser sharp focus on what I wanted to discuss and what I wanted to talk about. And probably just subliminally, man, my mind was going somewhere that was a lot more natural for me. The songs kind of came a lot easier. The subject matter in these songs came a lot. I wouldn't say that they were just flying out, but I was able to finish sentences a lot easier than I have in the past. It kind of started to write itself a little bit more. And then the subject matter just started to link up, and I'm like, holy crap, man, this might be a concept record.
Why do you suppose it is, particularly in music, but certainly in all other art forms, that it's really rougher portions of life and rougher to deal with raw emotions that make for the most interesting art, as opposed to being happy and in love?
I think that people can hear it when it's played, and when it's recorded, especially the music is hands down, it's essential. You know, a great man once said that without music, life would be a mistake. But it is on the singer. It's on the storyteller. It's on the lyricist on a lot of levels, and it's how it's conveyed. Sometimes when you listen to, because here's the thing, I'm a fan of all kinds of music. I really truly am, and I love melody, and I love like really great hooks, stuff that gets stuck in my head. There's a reason it gets stuck in my head, because it's catchy. But for us, and to answer your question, why do you think? You know, why do we think sometimes that, you know, someone has to go through
turmoil?
I wish we didn't have to, but it does seem to be that, like, when that happens, for whatever reason, you really, really can hear it in the performance. But as you get older, I think that you start to learn how to not necessarily compartmentalize, but you learn that you're a performer. Yes, you're an artist first and foremost, but it's an art. So with that, it is your job, if you've been given a platform by the public because they really like what you do, you need to make sure that you are taking care of yourself, not only physically, but mentally as well, in order to convey new material that the public is really, really going to grab onto. Don't get me wrong. I think the first people that you have to write the music for when you're in a band, especially when you're in a band, but if you're any artist, even if you're a soloist, you got to write it for yourself first before you present it to the world. Otherwise, that word contrived can be a no-no in this industry, especially if you want to have a career. But, I've always said you got to fall into a hole to sometimes figure out how to get out of it. I don't mind the scars. I don't mind the cuts, the bruises and the pimples and the black eyes, because it allows me to know where I came from and where I'm going.
Good point. If you had to put a timetable on the new music, what would it be?
A timetable right now is pretty locked in for the most part. We're just being very aggressive with all of the schedule in regards to the recording, getting the writing finished, getting the essential things that we need aesthetically and visually for the record. But I'm saying January, right after the new year, you're going to get you'll probably get a little bit of a taste of it in December of this year. We're not going to, completely go completely dark before 2018. But first single by January, record out by April. And we're definitely going to start touring by probably February.
You mentioned the visual arts, and that was the one thing for this section and talking about the album. Of course, any visual stuff that goes with a new record is incredibly important. However, when it comes to concepts, you certainly need things that are going to further the story along and paint the extra picture. What kind of things are you going to need to create for this that maybe you haven't done before or in a way that you have not done before?
One of the elements of what we're going to do, what we have right now, and it's very ambitious, is to, whatever the amount of songs that make up the record, whether it's 10 or it's 20, gotta make a video for every single thing. So every song's gotta have a video. That's one essential thing that we want to be able to do, but we want to tell it like a story also. And I know people are going to be like, well, what happened to the Shinedown movie? And I'm like, well, the Shinedown movie is a totally different animal. So one thing that we've done is, in the past, you make a record, you pick the singles, you do videos for the singles. Well, this is about telling a story. And essentially, like, the first single might not be the first track on the record. I don't know if we're going to tell it consistently, like, as the story unfolds with, releasing those singles in order because that's the way the story is, or if they'll be kind of spread out. They'll probably be spread out a little bit. But one thing from a visual side is doing a video for every single song and having that already ready to go for the public when the record comes out. It's all out there. Yeah, it's all out there, and you can watch it all. There's no, like, necessarily quote-unquote. Like, I think it would be really cool, like, when you debut the record and the record comes out, all the videos come out at the same time as well. I know Beyonce did that, and it was a really, really great idea, and that was kind of a concept record for her, too, but it's a really cool idea. So, and there's other people that have been doing it before her, but, I remember we were one of the first artists that ever did an ebook, back in the day for Amaryllis. And so that's an element. But I love the resurgency of vinyl too, man, just because we can go in and just because we can, we're just going to make the most ridiculously awesome vinyl. We're just going to put together the sickest thing that you've ever seen visually. So we're really excited about that. And yes, we're going to do it because we can.
Quick aside from the new album talk, you guys spent an early portion of the season on the road in Europe with Iron Maiden. And I would have to think, even for all the shows that you guys have under your belt, you could still come away learning and appreciating live concert performance from guys like that who have been doing it since you and I were in short pants. What did you learn walking away? And tell me about the experience.
I learned that Eric was saying this earlier when we were all together. To take care of yourself, because these gentlemen are, you know, close to 70 years old, a couple of them, and you would never know it in a million years, because I think they burn about 115,000 calories in 2 hours. But I know what you're asking, and I understand the deeper meaning of it. I mean, here's the thing. One of the elements was is that Steve Harris asked us to do the tour this year. Last year when he saw us at Download, he had never seen us before. And, you know, he asked us, he was like, you guys be interested in coming and doing a UK tour with us in 2017? And we were just like, absolutely. And he was true to his word. It took a couple of months. We were actually in Russia when we found out we got the tour last year. And true to his word, it was exactly when he said it was going to be. They gave us 50 minutes. They treated us with such respect, and so they really were just a gracious host. But my concern was like, we're going to get out there, and it wasn't the show that I was concerned about. It was like, you know, maybe we'll be lucky 50 minutes, 9 songs. Maybe by the 5th song, hopefully it'll be, you know, the building will be half full. That was not the case. So, and this is my point of what we learned. We walked out there. The first show was in Antwerp in Belgium, and we did 5 shows in Germany, and then we went into the UK, and we did Ireland and Scotland. But from the very first show that we did with them to the very last show that we did with them, from the downbeat of our first song, every venue was filled to the rafters with people. There was not one empty seat in the building of any of those cities. And that gave us such a charge and such a determination that we really wanted to give our absolute best, not only for ourselves, but for that audience and to Maiden, because over the years, because they started in 1978, I believe, you know, and the history of that is, if you open up for Maiden, there's a reason you're opening up for Maiden. And we wanted to prove ourselves on a lot of different levels. And I 100% believe that we did. But their audience was so respectful. I mean, they never chanted, you know, Maiden at us. They never booed us. But I think that's also because we were giving it hell from the downbeat. And that audience, that Maiden fan base, you can learn so much from that, from a band that has treated their audience from the beginning like royalty and a part of their family. And we do that, too. And we're very respectful of our fans, and they know that. But learning that you can, if you want it bad enough, you can have a very long career as long as you consistently hold true to who you are. Don't ever try to win over your audience. Stay true to who they are as well. You know, our audience has always been able to, I believe, grow with us because we don't make the same record twice. But being on that Maiden tour and watching that band and seeing how put together they are, it just showed me that you can do this into your 70s and 80s even this kind of music. If you take care of yourself, you respect your audience, you respect the music, and you go out there and you give it hell every night.
Brent, it's always so much fun to talk to you. I'm so stoked now for this new project, and you know, I'm not one to want to rush through life, but when we get to the end of the year and I can finally hear something, I'll be very glad to do so. So safe travels to you. God bless you and your family and all the guys in the band and their loved ones. I'll see you again soon.
All right, Lou, we absolutely adore you, man. Thanks so much for just absolutely everything. You rock, man.
I'll see you in Baltimore. We'll do crab cakes.
Yeah, man.
All right, do it.
This is Hard Drive DL. Check out more. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app or visit harddriveradio.com.